Okay, everybody, welcome back to another episode. Today, I am so excited, maybe the most excited I've been in a long time. I get to sit down with one of my friends, Mr. Sonny Roseman, and we go all the way back to when he was a young guy starting a family business, all the way through 50 years of marriage, some difficult losses in his life, and then how he has built such a strong faith. I'm so excited for you to hear what he has to say. Welcome back to Life Between Sundays.
To live your life, you've got to lose it. And all the losers get a crown. I get down, he listen up, I get down. He listen up, I get down. He listen up, I get down. All I need is another day.
Do you know what a podcast is?
Oh yeah.
Kinda.
Okay. Kinda. Yeah.
Have you ever seen mine?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yes, sir.
Is it one of your top 10?
I say about 8 or 9.
8 or 9. Man, that is fantastic. Well, Sonny, let me just tell you, buddy. I am like 15 episodes in, and all of it was practice to get one interview with the Sonny Roseman.
Oh my goodness.
And you may not remember, but some months ago, I think before I ever did the first one, I called you one time and I was like, would you ever consider being on here with me? And you said you would.
Yeah, I remember that.
Well, I've got some ideas for us to talk about.
Well, good. I hope so.
Yeah, I got some ideas. And some of it's from just you and I talk quite a bit.
Oh, yeah.
Like you call me and I call you and we catch up and we solve problems and we've talked just about a bunch of things. And so I've made some notes just on things that when you and I have talked, questions you've asked or things like that really have made for good conversation. And so I want to go back to when. Now, how old are you now?
88.
You're 88 years old. You don't look a day over 86 to me. You don't. 88 years old. Yeah. And how long have you been married?
52.
52 years.
Yes.
That's success, buddy. That's success in any way.
You know, it's a good thing that I've known God the bigger part of my life. I'm going to tell you. Because it helps you do a lot.
Yeah, and Adele, Miss Adele, my grandmother, my adopted grandmother,
right,
with all rights and privileges within. Y'all been together 52 years. I want to go back even before that, because I remember you talking about you were in college, and that's how you ended up, I think, in the furniture business. So you went to NC State.
NC State, yes.
Go Pack.
Right.
So you were going to NC State. What were you going to study?
Civil engineering.
Civil engineering.
Right.
Okay, so you go down there.
Yes.
And what year are you?
It would have been, I graduated from high school in 56.
Okay.
So it would have been, you know, the latter part of 56 and then 57.
So you were there a year or so.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's going on with your mom and dad back then? Had they already started? They were doing something else.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Dad was in the dry cleaning business for 27 years. He was the hardest working guy you'll ever meet. He was at the dry cleaners at 6 o'clock in the morning to catch the people going to work to bring their clothes, and he would leave at 6 in the evening when they went back home. And his business is where the city hall is, police station.
Okay, yeah, downtown.
Downtown.
Okay.
Yep.
So you're in college, and he's a dry cleaner.
Yep.
So what happens that you got to come back to Hickory?
Well, actually, that was the year that the flu, I was really sick. And so I came home.
So you had the flu?
I had a bad case.
Okay.
I came home and Daddy looked at me and he said, you know, he said, I'm about to find something for you to do. And so we started the furniture business the next year. And we started in Brookford in the old general store.
Was he, did he stop the dry cleaners?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. What would make a person stop a dry cleaner and start a furniture company?
That's a good question. That building had some renters upstairs.
Okay.
And they caught it on fire.
No
and
kidding.
So he just said, you know, this is, I'm going to do something else.
Okay.
And plus I was there in his hair. And, he didn't know the first thing about furniture, the first thing. But he did have some friends that had been discussing with him going into business, because Daddy was a good businessman. And, you know, they knew whatever he did. And he was ultra conservative, and he was always waiting for the next depression.
Okay.
Those folks that went through that, I mean, it was a terrible time. And so.
You're 20-ish.
Yep, exactly.
And y'all start a furniture business in Brookford, North Carolina.
Yep.
And what are you doing for him?
Cleaning toilets and sweeping and doing, because I didn't know the beans about it. And actually, he didn't either. But just, you know, just being there for support.
And so he found some tradesmen and tradeswomen that had experience.
That's right.
And what did you start building? Upholstered furniture?
You know, that's something that I wish I still had one. But we started off with gooseneck rockers, and we made a bunch of those. And I know there's some around somewhere, but.
So y'all started making gooseneck rockers.
Yes.
So at that point, it just made sense to try to make the same thing over and over again, not a lot of variety.
Exactly.
What do you think a gooseneck rocker would have sold for
back then?
1960.
You know, really.
Do you think it's $80 or you think it's $50 or?
It could have been either one.
Okay.
You know, I've sort of slipped since then.
Me and you both. Well, if anybody watching knows where there is a 1960s vintage C.R. Lane gooseneck rocker, we're in the market for one.
Yes.
Okay.
Give us a call.
Give us a call. So you start making those and then, so that's 1960-ish.
Right.
And so it's soon to be 2030. You're in the business 70, 80 years.
Yep, that's right.
Which is amazing, an amazing testament. So then how long do you work with your dad?
Oh, until he had a stroke and it left him blind.
How many years was that, you think?
That was probably about 15 years into our business.
Okay.
And he and mother, she ran the office and he ran the plant. And when he had his stroke and it left him blind, they both had to retire, leaving it to me.
So you're at that point roughly 35 years old.
And I didn't know, I wasn't a businessman. I was a worker bee. I tell you, it was a true learning experience. We sort of did our thing, but we didn't know what we were doing.
Can I ask you, what do you think scared you the most with your dad your mom and dad had had this business and he's sick. Do you remember what was the most worrisome part of taking over?
I'm not sure I was smart enough to be scared, honestly. All I knew is that I had a responsibility and it was on my shoulders to make it go. I never will forget, I was so concerned with every little thing. And I I inspected every piece of furniture that left that building.
But you had employees that their jobs depended on it. You had to make decisions on how many pieces we're going to make. We're going to make a new piece, you know, expand in some way.
Build a building.
So was it called CR Lane?
No.
From the very beginning?
No, it was, at that point, it was Lane Upholstering Company.
Okay.
And there was another Lane, you know, L-A-N-E.
Right.
And we had some problems distinguishing between the two, so we changed it to CR Lane.
And you moved now your facilities out here on 70. When did you, at some point you outgrew, and is that the second place, the third place? How many places have you been?
No, that's, once we moved from Brookford, that's the only place we just added on four times or something.
Okay. That's okay.
You haven't asked me, how did we come up with CR Lane yet?
Okay. Well, let me ask you. So you split them all. You needed there was a lane and a lane.
That's
so,
right.
So CR Lane. I'm a Klein. Did it have anything? Does the C have anything to do with Klein? And you're going to announce that I'm an owner or something?
Well, I tell you, we'll make you
honorary.
Honorary.
Okay, fair enough. So how did CR Lane, the name, come?
Well, CR actually is my name, you know, and my dad's name. It's Clarence Roseman.
Okay, so you were a junior.
I'm a junior. Of course, nobody knows that because everybody calls me Sonny. And the Lane, if you look, it's, you know, it's spelled different than L-A-N-E is.
Yeah.
That is my sister's name.
Okay.
That's Elaine. E-L-A-I-N-E.
So that's how the name came about.
That's where it came
from. All right,
from.
Well, more importantly, where does Sonny come from? Do you know?
Well, yeah. You know, when you're working in the same building, you're trying to make things happen, you just can't have two Clarences. So I ended up Sonny, you know, as a result
of being a Sonner.
So yeah.
Okay. Let me ask you some general questions about that. So you've been, for 50 years, you've been running a furniture company.
Yeah. Yes.
But it just as easily could have been anything else. It could have been a hardware store. It could have been, because it's all kind of the same.
Sure.
What do you think is the most important thing when you're trying to run a business with people in it? What do you think the key is?
First off, I think God has to be your leader. It's got to start from your heart. Your integrity is so important,
mm-hmm.
and you have to treat people honestly. I tell you, we've got a team, got good people, good dedicated people that enjoy coming to work.
You got some people that have been there a long time?
Yes, we do. We just had two to retire. One of them was 30-some years, and the other one was pretty close to that.
Okay.
If you notice, a lot of good furniture manufacturers in this area have sold to other, to Chinese or to whomever, and they just lost all integrity, all the benefits of having a strong, reliable workforce.
Yeah, loyal people that have all that. And you know, when those people retire, that expertise, they don't even know what they know. They can't even teach somebody what they know because they don't even, it just comes second nature to them.
We'll pursue that a little bit. Actually, when they retire, they're almost impossible to replace.
Yeah. Well, because you, not only is it their skill set, it's the people that they are.
Yeah.
And when they leave a hole.
Oh.
They leave a hole where they sat. Whatever machine or whatever job they were doing, there's a hole there.
Right.
And you can't plug another person that will fill that hole, not for a long time.
Not for a long time. And then it has to be a person that really wants to contribute.
Can you think of something that you messed up that along the way you either did something a certain way or you, I'm thinking about people that are listening that may be trying to start a business or run a small business or be a Christian at work, or is there anything that you can think of that you're like, man, I wish I would have done that different, or I learned this over time? Is there anything that sticks out?
Yes, I regret that I did not spend more time with my kids and family rather than putting it all in into the business.
Okay, that's an interesting. So you would trade some of the success in business for what you think you gave up?
Yeah.
Was it time? Was it just there was so much time?
Yeah, and as you look back, I could have probably been a better husband during that time. And I guess we'll get into that because that's an important part of I think, of what I'd like to say at some point.
But, we'll get to it, I promise.
Okay, good. But, yeah, just putting the emphasis on work and success rather than from family.
Let me tell you the way I felt, because I have a small business. As a father and as a husband, you're worried that it's going to come apart.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, to some degree, you are chasing success, but at the same time, you're beating away defeat. I mean, yeah, it's as much as you got competitors and you got cost and you got margin and you got people to hire and people to, and so it is really, you know, this whole idea of a work-life balance.
It's tough.
There is no such thing, son. You got one life and you got to try to balance it all. And you got a wife and you got kids and you got work. It is hard, but I think it is true that none of us would say towards the end, you know, I wish I had worked more.
Yes, right? I totally agree.
And I bet there was some long weeks in there, right?
Ooh. Oh, yes.
Yeah, how
yes,
much sir. Do you think you worked in the middle of that? Did you work most days?
Oh, probably 7 days a week. Of course, I went to church. Now that's one thing that I think is so vital that a lot of people are missing today, because, you know, just going to church on Sunday, that won't cut it. We have to know the difference, and we have to be told it. And that's why discovery has meant so much to me.
Well, and you still also do have to go to church. I was going to touch on that, but I want to touch on it now.
Okay.
And we're in a wheelchair.
Have been for 5 years now.
5 years. And before that, it was a tough road to hoe. You were up and about, but you had to fight,
yes,
right?
Yes, I did.
It would be easier for you to stay home. You got to get ready. You got to get in the car. You got to get there. Typically, if you're not there, something has gone wrong. Why is it that you feel like you have to be at church?
For my soul and my relationship to God and to all of my fellow members of Discovery. I tell you, going to church on Sunday is, it's so uplifting. I mean, if you leave there on Sunday morning and you haven't been touched, you know, you're about dead.
Yeah, you're missing it, aren't you?
Yes, right.
Well, when you're kind of the, we don't have a mascot, but if we did, it would be you and Miss Adele. When it's hard for you to even get in there from people trying to stop you and shake your hand. And I remember you have reserved seating, which I don't know if we, I don't know if we charge for reserved seating. I don't have any myself, but you know, the minute the second service ends, like an usher comes up and puts a, like a red carpet down. And, but you know, people don't know what that feels like because they don't invest themselves. If you don't show up, if you don't build relationships with people, you know, you've been a prayer service person and a men's group person and you've made friends. Mm. And so it's like every Sunday is a little bit of a homecoming for
you. Oh, it is. I agree. That's a good scripture.
A little bit of homecoming for you.
It's you know, it's so humbling to be treated, you know, the way that not only me, but especially me, how everybody just so friendly, so helpful, so open the doors, you know, move out of the way so Sonny can get through. It's really very, very humbling for me.
Yeah, I'm sure it is, but you know, it's a reciprocal agreement. You love all those people well.
Yes.
And they love you back. So they're not loving you more than you love them. It is an equal partnership. So they couldn't be any happier for you to be there. But I think one of the challenges is some people view Sundays all you have to do.
Well, that's okay. That's what I was referring to earlier. Just going to church on Sunday, you know, and you walking out and you feel like you have done your duty.
Yeah, your duty to be there.
That's the thing that so many people don't understand.
Yeah, you got to be fed on Sunday. So then between Sundays, you can go feed somebody else.
That's right.
That's what you're. And the other part of that is some people think, well, I'm fine over here. I don't have to go to church. Well, and really, you need both.
Oh,
because when you run into a bind, if you're at church on Sunday, then you have a group of people that know you and come around you and can support you.
That's right.
So I want to go back on one thing before we leave the work discussion, because you have family in your business.
Yes. Fourth generation. Yes.
That can be really a challenge. It can be done well, it can be done poorly, and that can actually happen in the same week. If there's people out there that have family in business, what have you learned over 50 years that could be helpful? Particularly if you're trying to be a Christian organization, right? You're trying to live out a Christian, and you got your kids in there with you. What do you do?
Yeah, that's a very, very, very good question.
If you got a good answer, we'll both learn at the same time because it's hard. My son works for me, and I'm second generation. He's third generation, and it can be challenging.
Oh, no question. I have to say that God is the primary factor in the success of our family working together.
Okay.
I've got four great grandchildren and I've got two more on the way. So we'll have six. I tell you what, you've got to be a strong leader and you've got to have a temperament of wanting to serve.
Yeah.
That's
Did you learn that over time? Would you have been not as good a servant early as you were later, you think?
Oh, no question. Till discovery, I really didn't know actually what a true follower of Jesus meant.
And you've been in church for a long time.
Oh, my whole life. Discovery has meant more to me. How many years have we, about 15 or something?
2008, So we're coming, we're going to soon be 20. It won't 20. Be long, it'll be 20. But you straddled the fence for a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
You were at least at two churches. You might have been at three, and I didn't know it.
Yeah.
But you're a loyal person, and you were in other churches, and it took you a while to yeah. come over, which is fine. We wanted you to be where you wanted to be. So you think Discovery impacted you.
Oh.
Why do you think, what was different?
First off, I would say it's the message. How many preachers preach on fire and brimstone? I never became aware that, like some preachers are, you're preaching, it's all hunky-dory,
yeah.
it's all...
Everything's going to be fine.
Everything's going to be fine. Joel Osteen is...
He's one. He's been called out as being, you know, that's the prosperity gospel.
Yeah, that's yeah.
So you're, for somebody that's not, maybe doesn't know you, your son-in-law.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Is the pastor of Discovery Church.
Yes, sir.
And
yes.
he can be, he is very straightforward.
Oh, and I love it. Man, he steps on my toes and, you know, some people might get up and walk out, but I love to hear it. Because I want to get better.
Yeah, you want to get better. So yeah. 88 years old and you're like, I can still get better.
Oh, I listen. In fact, I want to learn to walk again. I don't want to get old.
Yeah.
And I ask God every day why he's leaving me here and what does he want me to do? Apparently, it's to be to be an example, I guess.
You've brought that up with me multiple times because you've had some brushes where you weren't doing too hot. And there's been more than one or two occasions when you may have been gone and you wondered why God left you here. Let's talk about that for a minute. Are you afraid to die?
No, I'm ready.
You're ready.
Yes.
I mean, don't die during the podcast, if at all possible. That would hurt. The ratings would be, that would hurt rate. It would be a big spike. And
right.
But so you're not afraid.
Oh, no. I tell you what, man, the Lord and I have, we're good buddies.
You figured it out. Do you have any regrets?
Well, just that it took me so long.
Yeah.
I really, really feel sorry for people that don't know what Christ expects of them.
Mm-hmm.
I feel sorry because actually, drugs, alcohol, pornography, I mean, you name it.
You name it.
There's all different alternatives, but the one that'll get you through, it's not in this world. It's in, it's in that book that he left us.
Yeah. Well, it takes us a long time, though, Sonny. It took me a long time, too. You know, we're just immature. And it takes sometimes decades for us to figure out what the truth is.
It's true.
When you say why you've been left here, I think it's fairly clear to me, and you and I have had that conversation. You know, you are such a good example. And I know that you would say you're not or you're humble and... But, you know, you're a very supportive person in that, you know, I know in my life in particular, you'll call and check on me. And a lot of men in a lot of cases, we don't think that we need to be checked on. We got to make this front that we're fine. But the reality of it is you want to be checked on.
I think we're in this world together to support each other.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you, Iron Man really means a lot to me.
Yeah, that's a Monday night Bible study you go to, right?
Yes. And, you know, of course, we have tables. We have about six around ours. And I have become such good friends. But it's amazing how you really learn who people are, how they are supportive, just give them a call. Oh, they're, you know, they'd be there, you know, building ramps or doing, you know, doing whatever.
Well, calling and checking on somebody. I know a lot of times if I do, we're doing some event or I'm doing a message or something, you'll call and say I did a good job.
Yeah.
I don't know 100% whether you always believe it, but you call and you tell me I did great. And that kind of thing makes a difference. I mean, if people are watching, and I think those things pop up sometimes and we think that they won't matter. And you need to call, text, go see somebody. Those things make all the difference in the world.
Well, you know, Dean, you know, when you're talking about communication and you know, none of us say thank you enough and I love you enough. None of us. That little bit just means so much. And you know, passing, we all are so caught up in our own little world that sometimes we don't realize how people are really hurting.
Yeah. And I think if you go back to when you were young, Sonny, it was a much more tight-knit community. You knew your neighbors. You sat on the porch. The neighbors played, neighbor kids played with each other. The neighborhood I grew up in,
yes,
you could ride bikes and it was no danger.
Yep.
And the further we've gone, the more computerized and screen wise, and that has taken away from me and you sitting with each other and talking to each other. And even if we don't know the answers to things, just us talking about it, what do you think?
Yeah,
well, I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah.
You know, I've been able to call you and ask you questions about business or other things, and you share your experience, because in many cases, it's what we've done wrong.
Yeah.
That I can tell you, hey, don't do this because it'll really screw you up.
You know, sometimes it's just conversation.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of knowing that you care. You know, all of us want to feel that we're a part of something.
Yeah.
And that we're needed. And, you know, somewhere down the line, you see kids or you see families in a restaurant. All the kids, you know, they're not even talking.
Yeah, they're all on the phone.
Yeah, they're all on their phones. It's we've lost that personal contact.
Yeah, sometimes Paige and I will go to a restaurant and she stays on her phone, but that she just doesn't want to talk to me. It's Sunny, I think. I understand why she does it.
I don't know.
But man, I tell you, you still have a purpose. You're still needed. You still have value. God still has you there. He still has you here. And all you can do while you're here is just do your best, right? Stay engaged. Whether that's try to strengthen your legs, try to strengthen, you know, be better, learn more.
I loved Smith's illustration of the wide gate and the narrow gate.
Yeah, the narrow gate.
I mean, that in itself is so self-explanatory.
You got to make a choice, right? You're going to be on the wide road or the narrow road, and we all have a choice to make. You also follow multiple pastors. So you have a local pastor in Smith Sharp, but I know you're a big, you'll listen to different pastors. Why is it that you've chosen just to really get multiple influences?
I would say that is to strengthen my walk and give me guidance as to how maybe I can help.
Yeah. So you think the different people have different angles?
Yes.
And maybe, you know, they have different preaching styles and you hear different things. Who do you listen to these days?
There's Alan Jackson, and I love him. He is a political pastor.
Okay.
And he gets involved. In fact, he goes to the White House and whatnot. And then David Jeremiah, Joyce Meyer, and Discovery, all the things that
you So three or four different. Yeah. So you're basically trying to, and you got some time during the day.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so you take some time and you fill that in with all kinds of different people, different influences, different angles.
Right, exactly.
That's smart. A lot of people think they already know it.
Oh my goodness. Well, they're just waiting on a fall, aren't they?
Waiting on a fall. Hey, folks, sorry for interrupting the podcast. I just want to say to you, if there's anything we're doing that is meaningful to you, you're getting something out of it, please like, subscribe, and share. Part of what we're trying to do here is just get the news out. And so if you like what you're seeing and we're trying to work hard to bring you good content, like, subscribe, and share. I'm going to give you a second to do that now. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Thanks for doing that. Now back to the show.
What you're doing is, I think, you know, like when we have testimonies at church.
Yes, sir. Testimonies are important because you hear from,
yes,
you hear from other people and what's happened to them and how they faced it. And, you know, when I think about you, not just your health, let's touch on something. I hope it's okay for me to ask this question because I'm thinking about other people that are listening. You've had tragedy in your life.
Yes.
You have had tragedy, just your health. You've also lost too many people.
Yeah.
Even for a person that's lived a long time, you've lost too many people.
And can we name those?
You can.
I lost my first wife to colon cancer.
How long had you been married?
We... About 10 years.
Okay.
I lost my first son to, he got killed in a motorcycle accident. And then I lost my first grandson in a car accident. So,
that's hard to even fathom, Sonny. How did you deal with the, so how old were you when you lost your first wife? Were you in your early 30s or something, you think? When did you think you got married?
Yeah, I'd say early 30s.
Early 30s. Did you didn't have any children at the time?
Or
you didn't have any children, well, okay.
No, let's see, Brian hadn't been born yet.
Okay. Right. How did you deal with the loss of your wife? If there's somebody listening that is going through that, what did you do? How did you feel?
Well, you know, really, there was a lot of support from friends, family. You know, it was really hard, but I think I probably relied on friends and family more than I did God at that time.
Okay.
To be honest. It goes back to that work ethic that I was talking about. So, you know, I gave up a lot of, you know, family and things to be what I thought was success. And, just a lot of things.
But you know, you probably needed something to feel a little bit of that loss. And work is an easy
outlet.
It's an easy outlet. You know how to do it. You can have some success, and that kind of fills that hole.
Yeah.
So I think that makes perfect sense. And then you lose your son and you lose your grandson.
Yeah.
When you look back on those things, what else, is there anything else that you could say that could help somebody? Is time the most important thing there to provide healing? Is it, what do you think?
Well, you know, I look back, I mean, even me, I've had so many two hips and you know, stroke and really, that, you know, all those things are sort of a teaching lesson of you know, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to go down that wide road? Are you going to keep it in on that narrow road?
You're going to keep trying? You're going to give up? Yeah. You're going to stick your head in the sand? You're going to turn to alcohol? You're going to turn, you know, there's all kinds of options.
Oh, listen.
And none of them are going to produce much that's any good unless you get on that narrow path.
You know, Dean, if I was growing up in today's environment, I don't know how I would turn out. I mean, our kids today are faced with so many sad and you know, and the thing that most of them don't realize is there are consequences for your actions.
Yeah, that's one of the things in our culture, Sonny. Consequences don't exist anymore in a lot of ways.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, to some degree, when we were young, trouble hadn't been invented yet. Like, it was hard to get into trouble because you couldn't go far enough.
Yeah, right.
You couldn't get anywhere.
Well, everybody knew you, too.
Everybody knew you. You didn't have any money. Yeah. You'd have to build something and set it on fire. That's all you could do to get in trouble. Trouble really hadn't been invented. And now you can get in so much trouble. Oh. You know, we didn't have TV. Oh, I mean, I feel young, but I remember... We only had three channels.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Our TV
Well, they went off at night.
They went off at night. The TV was the size. It was bigger than this thing right here.
Well, just about like that. It was the K-part.
Man, if you had money, if you were rich, you had a TV that was 8 feet long. And on one end, that thing had a turntable. And on the other end, that thing had an 8-track. And the TV was in the middle. And I remember when cable TV came to Hickory, North Carolina, where I was, and we went from 3 channels to 16. Yeah. And before that, you know, you'd turn that nozzle and you'd listen and you'd hear the antenna turn on the top of the house. That's the only way. So, I mean, it was hard to get in trouble.
Good point.
It was hard to get in trouble. So,
well, you're bringing back some good years.
But I mean, listen, man, you've persevered. You know, it hasn't. You're still carrying those scars with you. I mean, they heal over, and they get not quite as sore. But you know, when you lose a wife and you lose a son and you lose a grandchild, you don't probably ever really get over that.
It's always there, you know. But I try to be very positive.
Yeah, you do.
And I don't dwell on the past because it's gone, and I don't worry about the future because I know it'll be taken care of, and it's just I always think about old Mr. Job. Mm-hmm. How he was, you know, he gave up everything, and God still brought him back with
can still
twice why we had what he had.
Yeah, he can still redeem it.
Yeah.
The challenge for all of us is how we feel in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Versus how we feel, you know, your wife passed away when you were in your 30s. It was 50 years ago. Mm-hmm. So you do feel different about it today than you did about it the day that it happened.
Yes.
And so we have to let ourselves breathe a little bit, let some time pass. It's okay if people are in loss, if people are struggling. It's okay in the moment to feel bad, to be sad, and to be angry.
Well, I think you should.
Yeah. God understands that, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, so you end up, because this is important, you brought it up early on, you get remarried.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You remarried my grandmother somehow in a strange twist.
I don't know how she picked me.
So you get remarried to Miss Adele.
Yep.
And you've been married, we're just going to call it around 50 years, okay?
Yeah, good.
What What's the secret to staying married that long, successfully, you think? What's the secret?
God.
Okay, it's God.
If I didn't know him, I would have made some terrible decisions, I'm sure.
Okay.
And you have to have a loving heart to really care about people enough to listen to what they are concerned about, what they have to say. And I try to be a real good listener because that's, you know, some people don't have any idea of how to listen.
You got two ears and one mouth. Yeah. So you're supposed to be using your ears more than your mouth.
Exactly. Yes.
Do at 50 years of marriage, are you still learning some things about Adele?
Yes, yes, yes.
No kidding.
Oh, yeah. I still have learned how to try to be understanding about what might be going on at the time.
We're different. Is that a fair statement? Men and women are very different.
Very much.
We're like, we don't think alike. We see things very different.
Exactly.
We're blind to a lot of things. Like things can be happening around us.
Yes.
And we completely miss it. And our wives are like, how did you miss that? And I'm like,
oh yeah,
because I didn't see it, didn't hear it.
Well, Dave Ludwig, which I really believe he has counseled everybody at Catawba County.
He's counseled me. He's counseled me. He's counseled my children 100%. Pastor, Dr. David Ludwig.
Yes. Well, he told me, or us, because I guess if we were both there together, that women are, painters?
Yeah, in most cases, yeah. Women are painters and men are pointers.
Pointers. Thank you.
It's not always the case, but it's very true. And so if you spent a long day at work and you came home and Adele says, how was your day? You're going to say,
okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Paige is going to say to me, you had 42 meetings. How was your day? I'm going to say, fine.
Yeah.
And if we ask them, how was their day? They're going to start painting the frame of the picture.
That's right.
And then they'll start painting it in. And we've got to be patient.
Uh-huh.
We've got to be patient.
Yes.
And you have to appreciate and love the difference.
That's right.
Okay? If you don't, it'll drive you crazy.
Oh, yeah. Well, if you don't.
And we're perfect. So it's easy for them.
It's easy for them
to accept us because we're pretty good, I would say. But you know what I mean. You got to, in a marriage, even one that's 50 years in the making, you got to continue
to learn.
To learn.
That's right. Yeah, and things change quite frequently.
And so, she's cared for you for a lot of years. A
lot of years, yes.
And that's not easy.
No.
It's not easy to do.
That's very true. That's
the sickness is hard on the person that's sick.
Yeah.
It's also hard on the person that has to care for the other person. It worries them.
Oh yeah.
It's a labor of love, right?
Yes. Yes, it is. That's really the way it's supposed to be, but so many times people just pull up and leave. It's so sad that these marriages, oh my, well, in fact, I don't know what the percentages are anymore, but how many of these kids are just living together and not getting married? It's sad.
Well, divorce rate is still really high.
Yes.
In general.
Yeah.
The divorce rate is even higher if you live together before you're married and committed.
Yeah.
So there's some studies that say if you're, let's say you get engaged and you decide, I wouldn't suggest it, but if you're engaged and you live together for a couple months and you get married, that doesn't really change the divorce rate. But if you're dating and you're like, hey, let's just try it out.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
And let's live together and let's get a dog together and let's share a car together and whatever. The divorce rate's higher than if you did
well,
it.
Well, there's no commitment.
No commitment. And you feel at risk because there's not commitment. What we're really looking for is I want you to be committed to me.
Yeah.
And you want me to be committed to you, right? We want to, that's how we feel safe. And when you don't feel safe, the relationship doesn't have a basis.
No.
It doesn't have a basis, doesn't have a good ground to stand on.
That's very true.
So let's talk about for a minute, because and you may not want to talk about this, but I think you can shed some light on it. I view you as a very generous person. So not only with your time and with your experience and with your love, but you and Adele have been generous with your money.
Yes.
And I think in today's world, people view money as theirs. Like it's my money.
That's what.
Okay. What somewhere in your life, you and Adele decided to be generous with your money. What do you think caused that?
First off, we have been highly blessed, both financially and house. You know, I mean, and really, I've always recognized that there's a lot of need and hurt in the world. I've realized that I have been blessed, and I want to share it.
How does it make you feel when you're generous?
I just feel like I'm doing God's will.
Okay. It doesn't make you feel bad, because I know you've complained sometimes when I said you've given enough. And you've been like, I don't think I have. I'm like, yeah, you have. But I think there are people, let me just say this. I think there are people that one of their giftings is being generous, and that they actually, it hurts you in a certain way if I don't let you do it. And it's almost like you get mad at me when I say, hey, you need to stop doing this or stop doing that. I think there's something that warms your heart.
Well, that's true.
It warms your heart. It lets you know that it's not just about, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I think it's not just about you. It's not just about Adele. It's God has blessed you. You're moving that money around. And I think there's something to that.
Oh, yeah. I don't want any recognition. I do it because I feel, first off, I've been highly blessed. And second is, I've been told to.
Yeah.
So.
Now, that's true. There's an obedience factor to it as well.
Oh, yeah.
The Bible is clear.
Yes.
There's a lot of black and white in there that says this is what you're supposed to do. And then we have to choose whether we listen.
And most time we're not good listeners.
No, we are not good listeners.
Yes.
We are not good listeners. But you've been a good listener, and you know, God's been faithful. He's seen you through the ups and the downs. He's allowed you to see a business flourish. He's allowed you to see a family flourish. He's taken you through a bunch of illnesses. And I even think, you know, I think back when one of the things I think about you, particularly perseverance, you know, you had a sore on one of your feet, and it may still be there because it comes and goes.
It still is. Yes.
But I know for the better part of like 3 years,
probably four.
4 years, you had this thing on your foot, and then it kind of went away. Is it back now?
Yeah, it's back, and they can't tell me, you know, why. But it is healing again. I think we're on the right track.
But how do you, I mean, 5 years, 6 years of every day something still being there, how do you face that with a smile on your face? Do you always have a smile on your face about it?
You'd probably have to ask the deal. But I try to try that. That to me, you know, they, in fact, I was just reading the other day, who we surround ourselves with has a big influence on who we are and how we handle things. If you're negative, I don't want to be around them. I'll be honest with you. I think we need to build each other up, not tear each other down. Getting back to my foot, you know, it is what it is.
It is what it is. I had a friend one time that said, there's the way that it is, and there's the way that you want it to be. The sooner you get on with the way that it is, the better off you're going to be.
That's true.
That is true.
I mean, you could dwell on that and you know.
It ain't going to change it. You're going to get up in the morning, it's still going to be
it worse.
Yeah.
And not only for you, but for everybody else. Well, I think if I would like to leave anything, is we don't have all the answers. If we truly follow God's instructions, if we actually care about what He has tried to tell us, or His guidelines and whatnot, we'll get through this life, okay?
Yeah.
But it's not easy. Smith had a sermon on the stronger your faith, actually, the more problems you have.
Man, my faith must be big.
Yeah. Well, it is.
It can be a real challenge. And you don't want to have that challenge without Jesus in the middle of it. Because
you're going to go
the wrong way.
Yeah. But, I think I would just like to say that I appreciate what y'all are doing, what our church is doing, what Smith and Sandy. Oh, my goodness.
Man, don't be bringing Sandy Alton into this. This is at the end. She's going to want all kind of credit. And I will say this. I had an open date, and it was either you or Earl Fincher. And so Earl got cut, unfortunately. He's on the chopping floor. So he's begged to be on. Which means I can't let Earl Fincher be on here.
It would probably should.
Ratings would go into the basement.
Right.
Well, let me say this to you, buddy. You talked about having the right people around you.
Yes.
You've been around me for at least the better part of 15 years.
Oh, yeah.
And my life is better having been around you, listened to you, have you call me have a chance to call you, get your advice, get your support, see how you operate, see how you deal with problems, see how you're generous. You have impacted my life, and extremely grateful.
Well, I can say the same thing, and, you know, let's incorporate into that just knowing you're there.
Yeah.
Because that's just that confidence of that God's there.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
Except you're here and He's up there. But it still boils down to our relationships here are so meaningful.
Yeah. Well, yours is one of my most meaningful, buddy. And I am so grateful you were willing to sit down with me today.
Oh.
And talk.
Thank you, Chief.
I love you, buddy.
And I love you, too.
Yeah.
And you've been I'll tell you what, you're a great inspiration to a lot of people walking around this world.
All right, buddy. Well, I love you, okay? We'll do it again sometime.
Okay,
buddy. Bye-bye. Live your life.